to be all right knowing that I am. So we give God praise just for being, and just God's presence is enough. We declare that today. We give God praise for our music ministry. Thank you so much for pouring out so that we could be in a space of worship. It is an honor to be before you this morning, this beautiful morning. It's so good to see SCBC family. Y'all look good. Y'all look really good. Let's get started with our purpose statement. Y'all ready? You sure? Okay, all right. Together, let's say, we are an ever-evolving community of visionaries, dreamers, and doers who have been called by God to live the lives we were created to live, commanded by God to love beyond the limits of our prejudices, and commissioned by God to serve. Yes, let's give God praise for that beautiful vision. It's not every day you get to be a part of a community who's actually living what they believe, who's actually doing the things that they think are important in the world. So we give God praise for this place. Thank you for the opportunity to stand before you all. I'm going to let you sit down because I'm going to make you read a lot of the Bible today. We're going to be in Genesis. And I don't know. I'm addicted or something. I can't. It's too long. We're in Genesis chapter 25. And then we're going to turn to chapter 27. But you got to read it along still, just because you're sitting. Grab your Bibles. When you have it, let me know. Say amen. That was really, maybe 2.5 people have it. Genesis, now it's the first one, so. All right, we got it? All right, we are in Genesis 25. We are beginning in verse 20. Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah. She was a daughter of Bethuel the Aramean of Padan Aram, sister of Laban the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren. The Lord granted his prayer and his wife Rebekah conceived. The children struggled together within her and she said, "If it is to be this way, why do I live?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, "You know what? Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples born of you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger." So when her time to give birth was at hand, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all his body like a hairy mantle, so they named him Esau. Afterward, his brother came out with his hand gripping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter. He was a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man living in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he was fond of game, and Rebekah loved Jacob. And if you turn with me to chapter 27, we are going to begin in the first verse. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called his elder son Esau and he said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here I am." Isaac said, "See, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver and your bow. Go out to the field and hunt game for me. Then prepare for me savory food, such as I like, and bring it to me to eat, so that I may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for the game and to bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Hey, I heard your father say to your brother, 'Bring me game and prepare for me savory food to eat so that I can bless you before the Lord before I die.' Now therefore, my son, obey my word as I command you. Go to the flock and get me two choice kids so that I can prepare them for savory food for your father, such as he likes, and you shall take it to your father so that he may bless you before he dies." Jump down with me to verse 15. Then Rebekah took the best garments of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and she put them on her younger son Jacob. She put the skins of the kids on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she handed the savory food and the bread that she had prepared to her son Jacob. So he went into his father and he said, "My father." And his father said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up, eat of my game so that you may bless me." And just one more part. We're going to go down to verse 30. As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of his father Isaac, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He had also prepared savory food, and he brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father sit up and eat of his son's game so that you may bless me." His father Isaac said to him, "But who are you?" Esau answered, "I am your firstborn son, Esau." Then Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate it all before you came? And I have blessed him. Yes, and blessed shall he be." When Esau heard his father's words, he cried out with an exceedingly great and a bitter cry. Sisters and brothers, we have before us today a very clear case of daddy issues. Won't you pray with me? God, in your house this morning, this place where you have brought us, we do trust on some level that you brought us to the right place, not just this sanctuary, but God in our lives. When we look back, we have to say we sense your hand moving and that you brought us to this place because there's further to go. There's more healing you want for others. There's more joy you want for us. And so this morning, God, I pray that whatever you have sent us to ponder on, that it will stir something in our hearts, God, so that you could move in and rearrange, clean us up on the inside. God, clean out our minds, clean out our thoughts, whatever you need to do, God. Sometimes we don't even know the way, but we trust you. And so we're praying for your voice this morning, whatever it may say. We're ready. You have our attention. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I just want to read one last verse back in chapter 25. When the boys grew up, we're in chapter 25, verse 27. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man living in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he was fond of game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Psychologists have many different names for what we commonly, colloquially known as daddy issues. Freud and Jung, they called it the father complex. James Herzog, he called it father hunger. Some call it father deficit. Regardless of what we call it, most of us have seen the signs of daddy issues either in ourselves or in others around us. What are the signs? Okay, so there's first of all that diminished self-concept. This is what they call it. When you feel like you just weren't good enough, you didn't have the proper intimacy with your father, it often makes you feel like you weren't good enough. Something is wrong with you. Why didn't he stick around? And so you get that diminished self-concept. Those who have been in abusive situations, abused by a father figure, they tend to either later abuse others we know, or they either tend toward relationships where the abuse continues. Delinquency from school or from work, trouble keeping commitments because that original commitment was not kept to you. Relationships are hard because even those who are trustworthy don't seem trustworthy because you couldn't trust the one you were supposed to trust. Problems in school, problems in work, problems in these life goals because things just don't seem to be as easy for you if you didn't have that foundation. Struggles with the addiction, struggles with alcoholism, and the list goes on. Daddy issues. Like many of us in the sanctuary this morning, Jacob, through no fault of his own, he has some daddy issues. Usually when we hear this story, we think of how conniving Jacob was. We think of how sneaky Rebecca was. We think, what in the world do they put in that stew to make the whole family turn upside down? Like, what are they putting in it? Is it legal what they're putting in it? I don't know. We're focused on other parts of the story, but we often don't see how hurt Jacob must have been. Those of us who spent way too much time in Sunday school, we know this story well. Esau and Jacob are brothers. Esau is the outdoorsy type. He's sporty. He comes out red and hairy already from the beginning of his life. He grows up hairy and he's tough. He's the kind of kid most dads expect to have, right? He's a kid you could play football with. He's a kid you could play basketball with. You can take him to the games. You can brag about him to your friends. Jacob wasn't like that. Jacob was the quiet type, the indoor type, we're told. He had smooth skin. He couldn't grow a beard for anything. Genesis says he lived in tents. Now, just to orient you, tents were all they had back then. So this isn't saying he's the outdoorsy type, because you didn't have any other choices, just tents. It wasn't like you had a house and then you went camping to connect with nature. No, that life was camping. There was nothing other than camping. Some of y'all are like, OMG, thank the Lord, I was born now. So tents didn't mean he liked to be outside. Tents meant he liked to be inside, where the cooking was happening, where he could hang out with his mom, where he wouldn't get too dirty. Are you seeing what I'm saying about Jacob? That he wasn't the type that his dad had in mind. You're getting the picture. He wasn't what Isaac imagined when he spent those 20 years praying for Rebekah to get pregnant. In short, Jacob didn't turn out the way Isaac expected. I don't know if anybody knows what it feels like to not have turned out the way they expected. They wanted you to be a doctor, but instead you didn't go to school, you went to New York because you had to be an actor. They wanted you to be academic, but you turned out artistic. They wanted you to be straight, but you turned out gay. They wanted you to be so many things, but you didn't turn out the way they expected. Some of us know what it's like to not be what they expected. Maybe all of this would have been okay if Isaac could have just seen past his expectations, could have just loved his children equally. It would have been all right if Isaac could have said, you know, you're not what I thought, but life gives you some blessings that aren't the way you thought they were going to be. But just back then, just like it is now, sometimes the ones who are supposed to love you, they can't always love you the way they should. Genesis tells us clearly. It says, Isaac loved Esau. Rebekah loved Jacob. We read this sentence as though it's normal. We just pass over that as though it's normal for parents to pick and choose. Normal for your mom or your dad just to forget to love you. But it's not normal. That fierce love that happens because of the result of the release of hormones and the evolution of the species and the exquisite design with which our God made us, that fierce love that connects a father and a child, a mother and a child, that will cause the parent to go through all sorts of danger, risk, and stress for the sake of the child, that fierce love that empowers and inspires and protects and sustains, that love was not there between Isaac and Jacob. The time comes for Isaac to bless his sons before he dies, but he only calls one son. We think this is normal, but it's not. Back then, as Pastor Lakeisha explained to us this morning, inheritance even was split between all of them. Yes, the firstborn got most of it, but the second and the thirdborn, they still got something. Blessing wasn't even like that. The blessing was for everybody. Well, it wasn't for the women, but you know, that's another sermon. It wasn't for the women. But for the men, they were all supposed to get some. This blessing, there was supposed to be enough for everybody. Jacob, when he's later a father, he blesses every last one of his sons. But Isaac, he can't go there. He can't do it. He just doesn't have the blessing to give. It's time for him to bless his sons. He only calls one. My son, he says, it is singular. So we know the story. Those of us who have been in Sunday school, we remember what happens, right? Isaac calls his son, but Rebekah is eavesdropping. When Esau leaves, she convinces Jacob. She says, you know what we're going to do? You're going to dress up like your brother. I'm going to get you some fur to put on your skin so you feel hairy like him. I'm going to put you in his clothes. I'm going to make some food your father cannot resist, and you're going to get that blessing. Jacob doesn't want to do it. He's hesitant to lie to his father on his deathbed, but Rebekah gets all dramatic. She says, let your curse be on me. So he's convinced. He does it. He puts on the animal skins so he feels like his hairy brother. He puts on Esau's clothes so he smells like him, and he goes into the room where his father is dying, and he says that he's someone he's not. I don't know if you can see him there. So if you know the story of Jacob, he already has the inheritance, right? Because he robbed it from his brother was extremely hungry. See, again, this soup thing, it's like some big deal. His brother Esau was really hungry, and he comes into the room, and Jacob is cooking because he's that type of man. He's cooking. And Esau says, give me some of that. He says, only if you give me your inheritance. And as Pastor Lakeisha told us this morning, his inheritance was twice as much. Esau was so hungry. Have you ever been that hungry? That's like after three services at FCBC, you're like, I will sell my inheritance if you just get me some Chipotle ASAP. This is where Esau is. He's like Sunday at 3 p.m. hungry, right? And Jacob says to him, fine, if you give me your inheritance. Esau does it. So Jacob has two-thirds of what is going to be everybody's. He has it. It's all his. But this blessing, he has the material. Are y'all see what I'm saying? He has the material stuff. It's his. But he can't rest until he gets that blessing. I don't know if any of y'all know how, those of us who know how it feels to turn out not like they expected. Sometimes the material stuff, it doesn't keep you up at night. You don't long your whole life for something that you could put in a box and put take to the bank and take with your credit card and buy something. That's not what keeps you up at night. But that blessing that they couldn't pronounce, all it took was a few words and they just couldn't say it. It's that blessing that we fight for, that blessing that we'll lie for, that blessing that we'll even die on the inside for. Can you see Jacob here today? Something's not right on the inside of him. He has the material stuff, but man, that blessing. So he goes into the room. Can you see him there? He puts on clothes that are not his. He is handing something to someone that he did not make. He is saying a name that is not his. At first, he's all uncomfortable. No, I don't want to lie to my dad. Then he gets a little used to it. And then Isaac says to him, now, I might be blind, but I'm not dumb. Who are you really? Esau. Well, then how'd you get back so fast? God helped me. Mm-hmm. Wait, tell me again. So for real, you're sure that you're Esau? Yep, Esau, all day long. This man, he's comfortable at this point. It's like he's having fun with the thing. At first, he didn't want to do it, but he says over and over that he's somebody that he's not. I don't know if y'all have been there, but some of us, we spend a lot of time because they didn't bless us the way they should. They couldn't say the words that they should have said, and so we spend a lot of time being people that we're not. We put on clothes that we don't like. We study things that don't interest us. We talk in a voice that's not our own. We act all sorts of ways that are not our ways to act because they couldn't tell us that the way we were was good enough. Jacob here this morning, Jacob is in front of his father who should have rubbed in the must, acting like he was someone completely different. Many of us, we're far away at this point from the people who failed at loving us, but we still can't figure out how to stop acting. We've been faking it so long, we don't even know who the real us was. What did we sound like before the rejection happened? What would we be like if we weren't trying so hard all the time to get the love that should have been ours to begin with? And some of us are past the Jacob stage, right? We forgot about them. We're no longer trying to get the love from the people who were supposed to. We gave up on them. But those daddy issues, those mommy issues, they're stubborn, right? They will stay with you till you're 25, 35, 75. You swear you forgave your dad, but you still hate all those men you're trying to date, but you swear are evil incarnate, right? You think you're over it, you don't need it from them anymore, but you turn into a workaholic because you're still trying to earn what they couldn't give you at home. We think it's done, we think it's over, we don't think about them anymore, but something in us is still crying, longing for that blessing that they didn't have the words to give. Jacob this morning he's desperate for that blessing. He was trying to be something he wasn't. And you know what? It didn't work out well for Jacob. It caused him all sorts of problems when he tricked his dad. Y'all remember the story? Esau found out that he stole his blessing, and now he's pissed. He already took his inheritance. He is upset. He got so mad, he swore he would kill him. So Jacob goes to live with his crazy uncle, where he ends up marrying two women at once. Right? So this type of dysfunction, it kind of sounds like stuff that we might see in our homes, right? We are really getting into it here. So now Jacob does not only have daddy issues, he has brother issues, he has wife issues. This hurt from your home, these wounds from where you came from, they won't leave you alone. You have to deal with them. They will follow you wherever you go. You'll see them popping up in all sorts of places. Worst of all, when it came time for Jacob to be a dad. His daddy issues, they made him not do a very good job. I don't know if you all remember the story of Jacob. It's a long one, but at one point, he is blessed to have a daughter. She's a beautiful daughter. Her name is Dinah. Does anybody know Dinah's story? Dinah, and Jacob's trying to be an okay dad, but something's missing for him. And so Dinah has the tragic experience. She is raped. And Jacob, instead of being enraged the way that he should be, instead of protecting her the way that he should be, her perpetrator comes and tries to, you know, sometimes there's a little bit of flip-flop there, they hate you, they love you, they hurt you, they want to come, the abusers, you know, they do that. So her perpetrator comes and says, no, I really love her. I want to marry her. Reverend. Jacob, what would a good father do? Kill him, maybe. Kill him, maybe. Get out of my house. I don't want to see your face. He would protect it. He would be enraged the way God is enraged. right? Because in that same story, the brothers, they get upset. They get upset, and Jacob doesn't understand, why are y'all so upset? Chill out, these things happen. They say, no, this does not happen in Israel, not with the God that we have, right? So we know that God is upset, but Jacob doesn't have it in him to bless his daughter. So these daddy issues, these daddy issues, they will follow you. So now Jacob has daddy issues, he has brother issues, he has wife issues, and he has daughter issues. How many of us have been there? If you don't resolve the issues that come from the wounds of where you come from, those wounds they'll end up hurting other people the way they hurt you. So how do we resolve these wounds of where we come from? How do we heal the hurt of our home? In his book, The Four Agreements, which Pastor Lakeisha has taught us about before, The Four Agreements by Domingo Ruiz, he tells us that in life, there are just four agreements, that if you abide by these things, you will have guaranteed access to happiness and to personal freedom. So just four things, and he tells us the second of these things is very important. Don't take anything personally, because it's not about you. So he tells us that the things that happen in life, even if someone takes a gun and shoots you, he says, that is not about you. That's about what's wrong with that person. And those of us who have been hurt by the homes we came from, it can sometimes take a lifetime to learn the lesson that it was never about you. We see from the story that Isaac loved Esau, right? It says Isaac loved Esau, but it wasn't because Esau was better. Why did Isaac love Esau? It says right there in the story, Isaac loved Esau because Esau made the food that his dad liked. That's another verse we read over like it's normal, but that doesn't happen in happy homes. Anytime you love someone because of what they do for you, it's not love. It might be appreciation, it might be fondness, it might be gratitude, but it is not love. Love is not a transaction. Love is the perception of a miracle and appreciating it. Love is not something you take and then you give back. If a father can't love a son because the son can't make him his favorite dish, or the son can't be a famous basketball player, or the son can't take on the family business, the father just can't love that son. It has nothing to do with the son. It's not the son's fault. The father is just not capable. He just doesn't know how to love. So we see that something is up with Isaac. And if you really read the Bible, it doesn't take that long to see that Isaac came from his own hurt. Y'all remember his story? Do y'all remember how Isaac entered the Bible? It was not in a good role. It's another one of those passages we read over like it's normal, but it's not. Isaac is the son of? Yes, Isaac is the son of, your pastor knew who is. Isaac is the son of Abraham. And the first time we see Isaac, really we see him, is when Abraham thinks he hears God tell him to kill his son. So here is Isaac trusting his father. Ooh, if you read the story, it is deep. He's trusting his father. Daddy, where are we going? Oh, I'll tell you when we get there. He's not understanding. Things don't feel right. His dad is not in the normal good mood that he's in. And they get to the mountain, and Isaac is with this figure that he trusts more than anything. And what does that figure do to him? He binds him with rope. He lifts him up on top of an altar where Isaac has seen animals killed time and time again. This man puts his son on an altar and raises a knife over his neck. It takes the Holy Spirit to come in and stay his hand, or this man is going to kill his son. This is how Isaac enters the world. This is how Isaac realizes how the world is. This is what teaches Isaac how things are going to be for him. The one you loved, the one you walked with, he made you carry those sticks. And this is what you do to me? Isaac can't love. Talk about the trauma. Anybody know what it's like to be betrayed by the one that was supposed to protect you? Thank God for the Lord who came in and said, "Woo, this father's not good enough. I'm going to come in and be your father. This father is not behaving the way the father should. I'm going to come in and take care of this situation. Don't do anything to the child," God says. This is how Isaac enters. Maybe there's something in Isaac that couldn't trust, but maybe this is why he prefers his hairy, tough, manly son. Maybe there's something in him that hates that part of him that trusted his dad, that hates that part of him that went with him, that didn't stand up to him, that didn't take the knife back against him. Maybe there's part of him that hates that gentle part of himself, and so he couldn't love the gentleness he saw in Jacob. Maybe his capacity for love was just turned off that day. A knife over your neck, in the sweat dripping down the face of the one who's supposed to love you, but is about to kill you. And when it came Isaac's turn to be a father, he just did the best he could. It's not about you. It's an extremely common story, unfortunately. You know, that your dad wasn't around, your mom left before you were done being a kid. And almost inevitably in these situations, when the parent leaves, there's a lower sense of self-worth. The child either assumes consciously or unconsciously that something she or he did, that something was wrong with her. Otherwise, the parent would have stayed, wouldn't have hurt you, would have seen you, would not have hit me, would have loved me. You can know in your head, you know, it wasn't about me, but something in your heart still hurts because you think if you were better, they would have been too. But you can't truly heal the wounds of where you come from until you let it sink in that it was never about you. We see this later in the story of Jacob. It wasn't about Jacob. There was nothing wrong with the way he was. We know that it's fine to be an inside type. If there were no insides type, we would never have the Sistine Chapel. We would never have the 14th Sonnet. We would never have Go Tell It on the Mountain or The Fire Next Time. If there were no inside types, there are a lot of things that would be missing, and there was nothing wrong with Jacob. 800,000 kids in the U.S. are named Jacob. Nobody's named Esau. There is nothing wrong with Jacob, and there's nothing wrong with you. In fact, everything is right with you. And if the people who were supposed to tell you that, they couldn't, hear it now in the house of God. Yeah. There is nothing wrong with you. Everything is right with you. If they couldn't hear, if they couldn't say it to thee then, if the blessings weren't there, hear it now in the house of God. There is nothing wrong with you. Everything is right with you. If they couldn't say it to you, it wasn't about you, it was about them. If your mom said your hair is ugly, God says, I have counted every hair and I like every single one. If your parents, they ignored you when you cried, God says, you know what, I catch all your tears in my wineskins and I have known all your hurts. If your parents couldn't get it together to get you a dinner and they sent you to dinner without bed to punish you for nothing, God prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. If you couldn't hear it from the place you came from, hear it now in the house of God. There is nothing wrong with you. The crazy thing about Jacob and the crazy thing about us is that he never needed this blessing. I don't know if y'all remember the story. Have you heard of a place called Bethel? I don't know if you remember from Sunday school, but just a few chapters later, Jacob encounters somebody else that counteracts all the pain of his childhood. He's sleeping on a rock. Do y'all remember the rock? I don't know if any of us have ever been sleeping on a rock. That's not necessarily literal, but sometimes you find yourself sleeping on a rock. You're getting far away from the place you came from, but there's something still kind of hard about your situation. You feel like you're healed, you forgave them, you forgot about it, but there's something still missing in the comfort of your home and the joy of your life. You're sleeping kind of on a rock, right? And so he's far away, and he has a dream. It seems that when he finally gets away from his crazy family and all their chatter, one guy telling him, I'm not going to bless you, the mom saying, yes, you're going to go sit. When he gets away from that, some of us need to get away from the craziness, the chatter of our family, he can hear what God has been saying all along. There is this ladder, I don't know if you remember about Bethel, but there's this ladder, and it's reaching all the way up from heaven to exactly the spot where Jacob is. There are messengers of God climbing up and down the ladder. They're going back and forth, just trying to get the message to Jacob. And God is in the dream there. God is saying, hey, I'm trying to say something to you. I'm trying to get your attention. You couldn't hear it back there, but I have you here in this place far away. There might be a rock there. Your head might not be too comfortable, but I would like to say something to you. God says to Jacob, I know they couldn't bless you the way you needed. I know they couldn't love you the way you deserved, but I want to tell you today, I bless you. I want to tell you right now, you will have everything you need and even more than you can imagine. Why? Because I say so. Your dad didn't want to bless you. That doesn't matter. Your mom couldn't say she loved you right. That's not important. I love you. And you know, God didn't bless Jacob because he made a meal for God. or because he acted like someone he wasn't, or because he tricked him into loving him. Why? God said, I bless you because I am Yahweh, because I am your God. I am the God of your grandparents. I am the God of your great-grandparents. And I bless you because I love you. I love you because I'm God, and God is love. Some of us find ourselves at our Bethel today. We're far from the hurt. We got out. We survived the village that raised us. Takes the village to raise a child, takes the village and mess one up. We're not there anymore, but we might be at our Bethel. Things still hurt. We're still sleeping on a rock. God has brought you far away from the place that made you, and you're finally able to hear some of those messages. Can you see that ladder? Reaching down to exactly where you are. Where you are. Can you hear those messengers? They come in all different forms. Messengers been trying to tell you up and down that ladder. It's not about you. You have everything you need. They've been trying to tell you for years, maybe. But maybe you're finally far enough away to hear what they're saying. God telling you, I am God. God telling you, I am the one who made you. They may have conceived you, but I authored you. They may think they know you. They may know your middle name and what you did when you're four, but I know you better. And when they can't love you, it doesn't matter because I know everything about you, and I think you are great. Now, I'm not just asking you to believe this thing about God loving you on some halfway level, like a lot of the nice things we hear in church. We hear that all the time, right? God loves you. We hear it so much it washes over us, it doesn't mean anything anymore. But I'm asking you today to accept deep in your bones. Deep. Not like a forget by Tuesday type of accept, but to accept it. That the one who invented the universe accepts you and treasures you the way you are. That the one who made your hands wrinkle up the way they do, that one likes you the way you are, loves you because you were lovable, not in spite of you, but because of you. The one who knows you better than your parents, than your grandparents, than your sister, than the people you betrayed, that one says, you can come home to me. When the home you come from doesn't make any sense, you have a home in the arms of the Almighty. And we say these things, but we don't realize how powerful they are. So in case you feel like you got a late start, because maybe you have some daddy issues, some mommy issues, maybe you were wounded from the place you came from, I want to tell you about somebody else who also has some daddy issues. It was Jesus. So this man, we think he had an easy time growing up, but he grew up with a father who was not his own. You think it's going to be easy? Wait, she just got pregnant. Wasn't me. And now you want me to, because I had a little dream. I mean, people have dreams all the time. Like, maybe I drank something. Like, what? So we think it's going to be easy for Joseph to be the father that Jesus needed, but we see evidence in the scriptures that it wasn't that way. Why do you think Jesus had to go and create these beautiful metaphors, because they are metaphors, of God being like a father, like an everlasting father who holds all the tears that you can cry in God's wineskins? Why do you think Jesus had to think of the idea of God being like a daddy, like an Abba, because he didn't have the one he needed? And we forget that the whole movement, the whole Jesus thing, the whole experiment was based on this idea that the love you don't get on earth, you have in abundance in heaven. So today we need to accept this in a way that's not just superficial. We hear so much, God loves you, but we forget. We forget that the love we keep looking for from those homes we came from that didn't do right by us, we don't need to keep looking anymore. Like Jacob, we're looking for a blessing that's already been ours. We're begging, faking things, asking for a blessing that's already at our doorsteps. Many of us, we sustained some wounds where we came from. And if you didn't, pray for us. If you had everything easy, God bless you. But we got to learn from Jacob today. We have to learn to not be anybody other than yourself. We have to learn that it's not about us, and it never was. We have to learn that God has been blessing us from the beginning. You couldn't hear it because you were too busy trying to get the blessing that they didn't have to give. And you know, we wonder, there's a story about Jacob later where he's wrestling with God. Do y'all remember that story? And we wonder why he's wrestling so hard. What is going on that he can't let it go? And what is it that he's wrestling for? Do y'all remember? It's that blessing. It's that blessing. He's fighting all night, sustaining wounds, because he's still looking for that blessing. Some of us are in that spot today. We are treating God like the dysfunctional parents we had. We are acting like God doesn't want to bless us, and we're begging and fighting and pleading and trying to prove ourselves when God has said, I'm not like them. I have love enough to give. You don't have to beg for it from me. You don't have to fake anything or work for it to get it. We're acting like Jacob, fighting when God already has blessed us. It's a sad story when we project onto God the dysfunctions of the wounds of where we came from. So today is an opportunity to realize, if you're at the Bethel, if you're far from the place that hurt you, but you still don't have that joy, you're still wondering about that abundant life, you're still looking for something, not quite finding yourself, searching and trying to be who they could love, the doors of the church are open to you today. And let me tell you, the doors of the church